Midnight Music.
Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, the Cody Rhodes to WrestleMania takes a revealing twist after an all-time epic promo with the Mr. Paul Heyman. Plus, Roman gets a little insane in the membrane, and Brock Lesnar is apparently extremely frugal. So sit back, relax, and I swear to God, if I get another text message about LeBron breaking the all-time scoring record, I am going to break my phone, Jordan, all day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 327. Pull back the curtain exclusively on WrestleAddict Radio, and it starts right now. Oh my God, Taquan, that is horrible, but I kind of also semi-agree with you on that. And Michael Jordan's still to go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode 327. Pull back the curtain. I am your host, King Ricky Rose. Just a two-man show today. Obviously, Kay is on a little bit of a Legends contract sabbatical. And we really didn't want to find a guest. We're just going to kick it with a little bit of old school, but just us guys here. So with me here for his first appearance during Black History Month. And by the way, well, Wakanda Forever is now streaming, so you have no excuse.
That back, is true.
Back from his fishing trip in Miami. That's what we're going to say, everybody.
Will's hunting Herchuk. Gators.
How are you, Will?
I'm good, man. I actually do have one thing to say about that LeBron thing. So I saw a tweet, or it's like a story. It's like Michael Jordan was asked if the 90s Bulls could beat the modern day Lakers. And he's like, nah, I think it'd be a 2-point game. He's like, well, we're on a 60s now. And I was just like, oh, God damn. That is some fucking shade, but also probably accurate. Scottie Pippen over the guy with the unibrow all day.
And, oh, yeah. No, Anthony Davis is fragile as all hell. He does like the Floridian Charm. Welcome, sir.
Go to Santas!
It's funny because my mom's maiden name
is DeSantis. I have to go, no relation.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my mom's maiden name is DeSantis. So I like my family.
Wow.
Yeah, it's DeSantis, no relation.
No relation. Nice. Nice. Good. Distance yourself, please. Please distance yourself from that maniac in and of itself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Kings of Rings podcast. We're going to pull back the curtain a little bit, but not really. It's probably going to be a shorter show this week, maybe, because there wasn't really much to talk about, but the things we are going to talk about are going to be a little bit big. And actually, well, I have a little bit of a good little discussion that I think we can get into towards the latter half of the show. But before that, some quick news and notes. First being, oh, by the way, SummerSlam's coming. SummerSlam is announced and it's going to go to Ford Field in Detroit. If anybody doesn't know where Ford Field is, I don't blame you, because no one watches the Detroit Lions to begin with. But that's where the football team in Detroit plays. But last time I think WWE even had an event at Ford Field was WrestleMania. So they are going very, very big again. SummerSlam in Detroit, August 5th, Saturday, August 5th. Tickets go on sale, I believe, April 14th. So couple of days after WrestleMania. So SummerSlam, I'm pretty excited for this. I'm halfway considering maybe making the trek to Detroit. It's not that bad. I've never been to Detroit before. Also a good place where I know a lot of Canadians that actually go to Detroit, because it's literally right by the border of Canada too. But SummerSlam, August 5th. What do you think, Will?
Well, if the Tigers are in town, I think it's worth doing a dual trip.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's really the only way I would go, because I
don't like the Tigers, but I know that stadium's kind of dope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about the Tigers, but I love baseball, and it's an excuse to go to a game that's probably really cheap because it's the fucking Tigers.
Yeah, no, but no one signs it. Did Mickey retire yet?
Yeah, I think it's this year.
Okay, we might want to go.
I don't know if him and Pujols did the same year. I don't know, because he didn't get as much pump in circumstances as Midgey and then my Midgey Pujols and Yachty did.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if he has one more year left.
I would go just to see Mickey.
But I don't think there's been anything ever in the history of ever that's made me go, you know what? Let's go to Detroit, and that might be including SummerSlam. So, but we'll see. I mean, especially because it's gonna be right after But after this Mania, the tickets go on sale.
Yeah, yeah, April 14th. Right,
so I'm not going to see as many, so I might have some cash.
We'll yeah.
See. We'll see what we'll my see. Cash, we'll see what my cash is like.
Agreed, agreed. We'll have to see at some point. But yeah, SummerSlam Detroit. I'm interested. Might as well. Oh, I've actually heard about Ford Field. We'll talk about it on the post show. Their technology is kind of nuts that they made upgrades in Ford Field for, but that's another conversation for another time.
Does your family come in drones?
No, no, no. It's a very interesting surveillance technology.
That sounds terrifying.
A little bit, but it's also very cool in another sense. What was not cool was that, unfortunately, we heard, I think, Tuesday afternoon that Jerry Lawler suffered a stroke and was recovering from the after effects of a stroke. From what I've also read, unfortunately, Will, it's his second stroke in 5 years.
Oof, that's not good.
You know, and everybody who's anybody in wrestling also famously knows that Jerry Lawler suffered a heart attack on Monday Night Raw. And if it wasn't for, let's be truthful here, if it wasn't for number one Michael Cole realizing and getting help, Jerry Lawler's dead on national TV.
Isn't it crazy? Like, someone who never smokes, never drinks, and, like, never did anything bad to his body other than wrestle is had more health problems than fucking Ric Flair.
They do have one thing in common, though, is that they go through women like crazy.
Yeah, but he doesn't have STDs.
True.
Like, does fucking true. Give you a fucking your heart attack, for sure.
Yeah.
Does it give you a stroke?
No, it should be good for your heart. It's cardiovascular exercise.
Yeah, not if you do it too much. And you can die
well, if you do it, yeah, well, no, you got to be consistent with it. Any cardio is good cardio, I feel like.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a damn shame, man. Jerry the King is one of those guys that's like,
he's a favorite. Perfected pretty much one of the greatest storylines of all time, because it was, no one knew if it was real or not, is him and Andy Kaufman. That's legendary.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely legendary.
He really is like the best color commentator ever.
Yeah.
Like, name me a better color commentator than Jerry Lawler.
Oh, you can argue Heenan.
Can't argue.
You can argue Heenan.
You can argue Heenan. Okay, but you know what? Heenan might just be too old at this point, because, you know, Heenan was big in the 80s and the early 90s.
Yeah.
Whereas Lawler was popped off during the Attitude Era into the Ruthless Aggression Era, which is the biggest generations of wrestling period. Like,
yeah.
Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression is bigger than the 80s Hogan boom.
Yeah.
And Lawler was wrestling then.
Yeah, Lawler was wrestling for a long time.
Yeah, he wrestled not too long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a man. It's crazy. I got a picture of Lawler, but we were there when we met Lawler in New Orleans at WrestleCon.
Yeah, super sweet guy.
Very nice guy. Man. Hell of a drawer. Like, he's a hell of an artist.
Yeah.
You ever seen someone? Like, he's crazy gifted as an artist.
He was really good on the Broken Skull session, too.
Was he? I had not seen that one.
Well, go back and watch it, because it's just, mm-hmm. He's really good. He's very soft-spoken, he's very well-spoken, and he's very honest about, like, his life and things. Like, remember the early aughts, he like quit WWE for a little bit because his wife at the time was fired.
Yeah, that was the cat.
The cat. Yeah. So, like, he talks about that and like what it's like, you know, all these years later and the mistakes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, man's lived a hell of a life. I don't want to talk about like he's dead, but no, he's gonna be just fine. He's recovering. I know he has his limited speech right now.
From what I heard, I think JR posted that he was somewhat of a slurred limited speech, but I know reports now came out before we did our show, but he's expected to make a full recovery, which is a very good sign.
Glad to see he kicked out.
He's good. And like, I want to emphasize here about, you said Lawler's very soft-spoken, because the Jerry the King thing is literally just a gimmick. He's not that guy.
That's, you know, it is kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, you know, like Ric Flair lives the gimmick. Jerry Lawler's kind of the opposite.
Correct, yeah.
As soon as the camera's off, he's just like, all right, I can go back to being Jerry, or whatever the hell his real name is.
I think it is Jerry.
It is Jerry Lawler. I think his name is Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, the King part, I think, is what he trademarked or copyrighted or whatever it was. You know, Ric Flair's name is even Ric Flair if you watch the recent documentary.
Fred Phillips, that took me for a while. I was shook.
That's what they started the documentary out with. I was like, what the fuck?
You know, I'm not gonna lie, dude, it got my attention. I was like, all right, I'm gonna actually put the phone down. I'm gonna actually watch this shit. And the rest was just, I knew all of this. Other than the struck by lightning, I didn't know he was gonna struck by lightning.
Ric Flair is one of those guys. I don't see how he still does it.
I don't know if he's alive. He shouldn't be alive. He doesn't know how he's alive.
Yeah, no, he admits, he goes, I should have been dead.
Yeah, he's actually died like 30 years ago.
Yeah. He does more cardio than me probably on the regular, which is kind of nuts. You see him at the end, he was doing like rows. And I'm like, dude, you're like 70. What are you? All right, dude. You know, but hey, long live the king, hopefully. And Ric Flair, fuck it. Ric Flair's earned his time to relax.
Do you ever find out what Hulk Hogan is? He actually paralyzed?
No, I think it's Hulk is just old because Hulk's almost like 70, and you know. No, he may. Maybe he does have some struggle walking here and there, but that's expected for someone that age.
Fair enough.
You know.
I hope he's not paralyzed.
Yeah. Let's move on to the only noteworthy thing in SmackDown. And here, there's that as well. Yeah. Why does this picture look like Roman Reigns talking to his drunk son after a night out?
No, it's Solo.
But yeah, I love what they're doing with this, because essentially when you're going into Mania season, but you have a stopgap at Elimination Chamber, which seems like a really big deal because it's in Canada, and of course they're highlighting all of their Canadian superstars because that's just smart business. Yep. And they're juggling this real well, where Roman, and no pun intended, is acknowledging that Cody exists, but they're not touching. And Roman
he's got business first.
Yeah, and he's dealing with the Sammy issue. And listen, after this past week of wrestling, there were some arguments for Sammy somehow being in this main event with Roman at WrestleMania. That's all gone. I'm sorry. It's all gone.
I've thought about it. This is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to give Sammy his due justice in main eventing WrestleMania, which I think he should. I really do think he should.
Okay.
I think him and Kevin Owens could main event the tag titles at one.
That's fine.
I think that's, and you can have Charlotte and Rio kick off the show. That's just a big of a spot.
Yeah, right? you either want to be the first or the last.
Yeah, like listen, I understand that people want Sammy to main event WrestleMania. I want Sammy to main event WrestleMania, but it's Cody's spot. You know, this was always Cody's spot. If anything, it's not like Batista taking Daniel Bryan's spot. This is Sami Zayn taking Cody's spot.
Yeah, and Cody called it the day after WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, and I think, like, listen, the Bloodline is still main event. Like, they're the main event. Sami's been the main event for the past year with the Bloodline.
Yeah.
And I think the tag belts that the Usos, which is also the Bloodline, main eventing night one with Kevin Owens, who main evented last year night one, I think is very believable. Mm-hmm. I think that's a way that the fans can take a little bit of heat off of Cody and just put the heat also on Sammy, because he's super fucking over.
Yeah. Well, Sammy's getting his main event spot in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, where he's from. That place is going to explode at the first sign of him potentially beating Roman. Because, you know, Roman's very good at false finishes. And that first false finish is going to explode that arena.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah,
like Sammy, like I don't think WWE is doing Sammy dirty in any way, shape, or form.
No, not at all.
And it's tough, because how do you make it that they don't boo Cody? Like if Sammy's getting beat down, does Cody come in for a save like after the match?
Here's my thing. I think Cody is nowhere near his pay per view. I wouldn't put Cody in. I wouldn't put Cody in a match. I wouldn't even have him appear. I think you have Cody go all roads to WrestleMania. He doesn't need Elimination Chamber, serves him no purpose. Nothing he can do at Elimination Chamber will help him at all. Elimination Chamber is where you're setting up your undercard essentially for WrestleMania and your other matches.
I love the chamber with the US title. I think that's amazing. I think that's very, very smart.
It's a smart move. Your WrestleMania main event is set. Roman Reigns has both the titles. It's Roman versus Cody. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unless, and like what Cody alluded to, unless Sammy wins, which is not going to happen. This is going to be clearly hometown curse, because WWE is not stupid. But the fact of the matter that Sami Zayn is main eventing in his hometown, it's going to be the main event. The Elimination Chamber is not going to be the main event. Sami main eventing against Roman in his hometown, Sammy's going to look like a megastar, more so than he already is, just because he has his hometown fans behind him.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be great for him.
It's going to be pretty damn close to WrestleMania moment. You know, at least he's getting the match.
Yeah, he's getting in the match. This is how you kind of panic to him. And don't be surprised if something screwy comes happen. I think we're going to talk about this next week with our special guest next week. But I think KO saves Sammy. That's when you set up Usos versus KO, Kevin Owens and Sammy.
We still haven't seen Jay, which is wild.
That is also the wild card in all
and
of this,
too.
And
they're defending on Saturday, Friday.
That's true. Yeah, no, Jay is still the wild card, which is a great part of a story that they have left open.
I think he turns on Sammy. You have to. Right? I mean, Bloodline is still the best thing going. This picture of Roman is yelling at Sammy, it's just Roman Reigns and like Triple H yelling at the marks. Shut the fuck up.
Right? No, it's also Roman being like, how dare you give me a good ass spear like that?
Yeah, it's appreciate what we're giving you and like enjoy it for what it is, because Cody is the guy. And Cody deserves a spot. Like, Cody isn't Batista that's coming in and taking a spot. Cody is also super over. We saw that on Monday. He's super fucking over.
Yeah.
And like, I would be very bummed. It's like, what else would Cody do? Go after Walter? But you an IC title and like, I left AEW for this. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, although Gunther's also now a made man after that Rumble. What a performance.
Yeah, no, I know. I didn't talk about the Rumble last week. I wasn't here, but yeah, Gunther, 100, like, an hour 11, like 71 minutes or 72 minutes, whatever it was.
An hour and 11, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the bookend, the bookend Rumbles twice in one night was very ballsy by Triple H.
Mm-hmm. But there were two separate endings, which I thought were fantastic.
Three people went wire to wire. Liv also went wire to wire.
Liv went wire to wire too, which is good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
You know, I think it does best for Walter. And my only concern with Mania, even though we're months at this point away from Mania, what does Gunther do?
I like what Fretz just said. Gunther versus Drew versus Sheamus. I think that's a phenomenal match.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Sheamus is also the most over he's ever been.
Listen, I would love, I mean, you got to get Drew and Sheamus apart from each other because they're like the lads now. But I would love to see Gunther versus Sheamus 2 without Drew for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. That's how you get the IC title relevant again.
I think Gunther-Drew is a great match, though.
I do, too, but I still have Gunther-Sheamus on my mind from Clash at the Castle.
That's fair. They did tease Brock Gunther just a little bit.
But imagine what they can do at a bigger spotlight.
Yeah.
Of Mania, of Gunther, and I would even have that start the show at one point, or put that in Show Stealer. You know, oh yeah, they did have the rematch on SmackDown. What, a Gunther Sheamus 3 at Mania? Fuck it, do it. I don't care. But no, Sami and Roman is good. It makes Elimination Chamber something to watch. You know, I'm always going to be excited for a Chamber 2, and I think this is a perfect placement, because now after Chamber, you've got a month and a half to fix Mania if there's issues, which so far, there are no issues, especially after, I'll say it now, one of the best promos I've ever seen on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, the promo was great. Now, it's like, you know, I was wondering, how are they going to build Roman Cody while Sammy's going on? And it makes sense, you know, Roman has his hand tied with Sammy, has sent out Paul and Roman and Cody to spar on the mic. I think it's very good booking. I think it makes sense.
And what, and, holy shit, what a battle.
And it was good. It was good. You know what? It was real. It was authentic. It's a true story. I bet Dusty did have $100 to his name doing car commercials to keep the car.
That sounds like a total Dusty thing.
I mean, it's super illegal, but I'm sure in like Texas where who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, wrestlers get away with a lot, especially if you watch Young Rock. You learn a lot about the shadiness that went on in the back. But it was fascinating to me because I'm watching this, and I think for the first time in a long time, like, I don't know, because this is clearly a worked shoot. If you ever see it, it's a worked shoot. There's a lot of elements of realism, like we already said. But I think Cody broke Paul for at least a minute.
Yeah, those tears did look real.
Yeah.
Like, Paul was good, but he had me fooled. I was like, damn, like, Paul Heyman, like, I mean, everyone has respect for Dusty. But it's just like, yeah, no, he did hit a chord.
Yeah, he hit a chord. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised that Paul Heyman was the one to bail Dusty out, because Paul Heyman is essentially what Vince McMahon was, except Vince had money and Paul did not.
Yeah, I was waiting for Cody to say, you promised him all this money and you didn't pay him, you fuck. Like, I was waiting for that line, but no, I guess he did pay him. I guess Vince paid him.
whatever. I don't, you know, whatever the time frame was, but
Dusty was Vince's first paid off woman.
Yeah. No, people, and I love how Cody went at this. I love how Cody's going at this, because this is all about respect for his family and respect also for Brianna Y family.
Yeah.
Too, as well, which is cool. So like, there's no real animosity, although Paul did kind of stir it, but this is just like two royal families going at it for supremacy, which is a great story. So very, I will see what happens after Chamber if everything like ramps up to 100, which it should. But this promo, like,
and I just wanted to wrestle
title. Yeah,
that's all I wanted.
Now you had to talk to my dad in this. Now I'm gonna have to kill you. No, it was great to see that, and I love how Cody just approaches this. It's all about, I'm gonna be respectful, I'm going to be as cool as possible, but now you've stirred shit up, now I'm gonna whip your ass. I love it. I love the story so far. I don't think there's going to do another promo that's going to be better than that on this build to this title, because I want to see it tomorrow.
Yeah, man. It's just like, more of this goes on. It's just, well, Cody said it earlier this week, too. He's just like, WrestleMania doesn't need The Rock. Like, we got stars. We have enough stars here.
Yeah, this proved it.
And I'm just like, I was thinking about it. I was just like, well, yeah, he's right.
Look at the Men's Rumble. The Men's Rumble had no surprises outside of Logan Paul. They used their roster. All right, Booker T. But Booker T's under contract.
Did you see Booker T's knees? He couldn't bend them.
I didn't care. Everybody knew he was there to do a spin-a-rooney. That's all everybody was there. That's fine.
But look at this card right now. You got Seth Logan, which is going to be
they haven't announced it, but probably going to happen.
It's going to be an amazing. He's burying him. He buried him on Pat McAfee show too, which is
pretty great. Did.
So that's going to be a hell of a match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you have, you got Brock Bobby, which is going to be a hell of a match.
Which we're about to talk about after like, this, yeah.
It's interesting that what these attraction matches used to be with the legend, like an Undertaker, is now your current roster in this set. Like, who's Seth's opponent? Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Who's Brock's opponent? Not for a title. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be Taker, but it used to be Cena. But mm-hmm. now it's like the guys who are currently, well, not the exception of Brock, is who's active. You can even say who's Bobby's match, right?
Yeah.
No Goldberg.
No, you don't Rock. Need him. You don't need him.
No Austin.
Don't need him either.
But like, what would Austin do? He's jacked to the gills.
Yeah, there's nothing for him to do.
But who's left?
Triple H retired. Shawn Michaels is not doing shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one left.
Well, imagine Bray versus Stone Cold.
No, I don't. I don't like that matchup at all.
It'd be so terrible.
I don't like that matchup at all. I mean, we still don't know if Miz is going to do anything. I wouldn't be surprised if Miz takes a year off from Mania.
Miz hasn't been relevant in a long time, unfortunately.
Although you can, I don't even know what you would do. I mean, you can even do maybe, well, they don't have nothing for the Miz, but like, I would love to see Miz Johnny.
Some battle royal.
Or some battle royal, of course, obviously, a pre-show battle royal, whatever. But, oh, Miz versus Boogs, that's not going to happen at Mania. Although Boogs needs a redemption after he literally blew out his knee on
the first
match.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Miz and Maurice versus Johnny and Candice would be fun.
I like that.
That's fun.
I
like that. That's cool. Yeah. Like Dexter Lumis as a ref.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, this Cody and Paul Heyman promo, people are going to be playing this for a while, because these are two pros. Like I said, I've never seen anybody go toe to toe with Paul in a promo and hold their ground. Cody did it.
Yeah, solid.
I was very impressed. One of the best work shoots ever. Moving on to big meaty men slapping meat, Bobby versus Brock, and another person who's learned how to cut promos in his old age, Brock Lesnar.
It was meat slapping majesty.
Yes, it was. Shout out to Kay Murphy.
This promo is also funny. This the Bobby who is this like, you know, you, I was like, you know who.
You Brock know exactly. Who. You know exactly who you're talking about.
It's really funny how he can't say safe.
Because like, I was with my wife. Well, everybody knew. Orlando's right, pretty marky.
For a Sable chant.
Orlando's pretty marky. Everybody knew he stole Sable from Mark Marrow.
Yeah. Mark Marrow was just like, okay, that's fine with me.
Well, he wasn't. What am I gonna do? He wasn't okay with it, but like I said, there's nothing he can do. He was not okay with it, but I love it. I didn't know Brock Lesnar bought $5 denim jackets. I didn't know that was a thing.
Where do you get $5 denim? Like,
where do you get $5 any piece of clothing?
Yeah, right.
I want to shop where you shop, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you're just in a thrift store. Like, Brock Lesnar walks into a thrift shop, and that's what he buys. If he bought the denim jacket, would his sleeves attach, or did he cut them off?
No, they were cut off. They were definitely cut off.
So he bought them cut off.
Yeah, he bought them cut off.
Okay.
He definitely bought them cut off. Yeah.
Brock shops at Goodwill.
and he has the audacity to ask for all of that money, you bastard.
Behind his $5 jacket is $1 million. Brock.
Yeah.
$1 million car, I mean, he's right, but
oh my god. Well, you know what I found out about Brock? I saw a clip of him too. He actually talks about why he doesn't do a full time schedule.
He doesn't have to.
Well, no. Well, that too, but he really doesn't like crowds. He's very shy and introverted.
Yeah, he doesn't like people.
I
did know that. Yeah, he doesn't like people.
He doesn't like crowds. He's like, I can perform in front of people. That's fine. But like all the other stuff, like he's like, that freaks me out, man. Like gives him like really bad anxiety.
Early on in his career, he bought the private jet because he didn't like going through customs. He doesn't like people. He's introverted. And like that kind of rubbed the locker room the wrong way. But like Bruce Prichard talked about on his podcast years ago. He's like, listen, this came out of his own pocket. Like, what do you want us to do?
Yeah, like, no, I can see how
WWE didn't fly him around. He bought a private jet.
Yeah, and I can understand how that like rubs people the wrong way, but like that's also it's a mental concern of his, and like you can't really battle that. Like you gotta find a way to adjust. And listen, it worked out well for everybody.
Yeah,
and it's not like Brock didn't earn his stripes. He clearly earned his stripes. Like Brock gets the business quite well.
Yeah.
And him and Bobby are going to be fun at Mania.
Oh yeah,
so much fun. Where you put them, I don't know. Night one, night two, who doesn't care? But it's gonna be fun. I love how Bobby is still hinting at the Hurt Business, but not really. Like he's dressing more proper now.
He's like, I don't want the Hurt Business, but Triple H wants the Hurt Business.
But it's happening. Cause Cedric and Shelton actually won a match on Raw.
And they were in the background of Corbin breaking up with JBL.
All right. This isn't part of the outline, but still, how bad do you have to be for JBL to say like "fuck you, I'm out"?
Well, Baron Corbin bad, apparently, and Baron Corbin sucks.
Oh my god! I was like, wow, JBL even broke up with you. That's a shame. That is a shame. Poor Baron. But maybe we'll get a broke ass Baron Corbin. That was a fun time for like a couple months. Well, man. Remember when he was broke?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was the best Baron. That was the best work he ever did.
He was broke, Corbin. Then they had a pay per view in Vegas. They had money in the bank in Vegas. They had
money in the bank in Vegas. He's like, I won the lottery. Like,
yeah, and then he was happy, dude. Corbin again.
Oh my god. He's to his credit though. He's adaptable. He has had many gimmicks that he's made work.
Constable Corbin.
I forgot about Constable
Corbin. It's when he started wearing like regular, like he looked like an Applebee's manager.
Yeah.
Applebee's manager Corbin. But Brock Bobby, can't wait to see what goes with that.
It's like when Brock said Elimination Chamber, I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Don't
Brock,
you?
Brock, he's supposed to point. Didn't you read the set notes?
I also loved how on Raw that was a running joke for everybody.
Yeah.
They could look, I'm going to point to the sign now. I was like, wow.
You like, I did the point, guys.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Brock could probably also tease that he might be showing up at Elimination Chamber because he does reside in Canada, so might as well, right?
I love it if he was just like, oh, wait, did I say Elimination Chamber? I forgot. I can't travel. I can't leave the country.
Listen, at least it didn't say money in the bank. Like,
that was really funny. Why with money? Oh, fuck.
You see this crap? I was like, wow, you tried, Dan. Like, I mean, listen, 8 out of 10 on the recovery. Yeah, I'll give him that. Yeah.
You should have said, you know what? I'm going to win that too.
Yeah. All right, so here's the question here. Raw ended with an actually pretty brutal-ass cage match.
What the fuck is Lita doing here?
That's what I wanted. I was like, I popped for Lita. Like, this was a very big Raw. I was like, ooh, Lita, like, are we having one more run? Because, like, honestly, you just paid off Becky and Bayley, which I thought was going to pay off at Mania. But now Lita's in the mix. Like, what do you do with Becky Bailey and maybe Lita? Like, sex I don't. Tape. Besides that,
second sex tape.
All right, after the third one, what do you do with them leading into Mania? This is pending Lita is coming back for one more, you know, Mania run.
I mean, Lita and Becky kind of like sisters.
In a weird way, I can see that.
Sisters.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha.
Probably go after the tag belts.
I guess.
What else are they going to do? I mean, like, it's hard to have women's matches if there's not a title involved at WrestleMania.
The only way you would have been able to do it is if you had Bailey and Becky, because that would have been a must-see match, I think.
They already did it.
But they did it already.
Who's Bianca go up against?
Oh, Asuka, a.k.a. Kana.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because Kana... Are they
in the women's?
Yeah, it's going to be for the number one contender for Bianca's title.
Oh, okay, word.
Yeah, Kana's winning that. I'm sorry. I'm not calling her Asa because that is clearly Kana during the Rumble. One of the best things I saw at the Rumble was her returning as Kana.
That was really cool. I popped for that, I'm not going to lie.
And Corey Graves losing his mind.
Yeah, Corey Graves did, like, not his pants. Yeah, Fretz, I think you're right. Ronda Shayna versus Damage Control.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, Ronda needed some time off to cool down. That's fine. But I also, speaking of Corey Graves in the Rumble, as we did speak about this last week, but I did want your commentary on this. Corey Graves did maybe his best work in commentary at the Rumble. He was on fire.
So was Michael Cole.
They all were on fire. Michael Cole
was listing off those Rumble stats.
Yeah.
And they generally didn't know Pat McAfee was coming out.
That was a great rib on Cole.
Yeah, having Pat music, like, the music has like, who is this? It's like, oh yeah, oh my god, it's Pat McAfee.
And Cole's like, you guys didn't tell me.
Come on, guys, it's not nice. I'm Michael Cole. I've been here 25 years.
It was great. I will say, Corey Graves sounded so much like Bobby Heenan. He was very Heenan at the Rumble.
Corey Graves is like, I really fucking hate this guy.
But they worked well together. That's a perfect three-man booth.
It really is, dude. Like, I never want to hear. I'm so happy Kevin Patrick was on the card because I fucking hate.
Oh my god, Ricky! What a match! We gotta go to commercial break.
He's awful. He's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with Bailey and Becky and maybe Lena, but who the fuck knows? But let's move on. My God. The opening segment, Judgment Day, and Dominic Mysterio continues to be one of the funniest parts of wrestling each and every week.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I love to see him just do dumb shit.
It's been funny because he already has the tattoo. You know
what I mean? Like, I know the teardrop is fake.
Teardrop's fake. It's like on the teardrop. Like, yeah. On the arms, like his sleeves, those are already there.
Yeah. Did you see the NASCAR segment they did?
No, but I don't need to.
No,
a picture of it. This looks ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. So they were clearly on Fox doing Clash of the... it's like the Clash or whatever, the first NASCAR races, because people watch that. And the New Day, it was like these two race car drivers. I don't know who, because I do know one race car driver was almost in Mexican prison this week, which is really funny. Yeah, he got caught at the airport with a gun that he's like, I swear I forgot it was on me.
How do you forget a gun's on you?
I don't know. Kyle Busch is an asshole. I know that for a fact. But the New Day were there, and then Judgment Day, which is like Damian Priest, Dominic. It was a New Day with Ray. And then Damian Priest, Dominic, and Finn showed up. And Finn looked like he was straight out of the 90s. That's where the Jamiroquai reference came from. Because he was wearing a bucket hat like that. He was wearing like a bucket hat and sweats.
Hell yeah.
And like a sweatsuit.
I don't know who Jamiroquai is. I know Edge told me to Google it, but that's too much work. Jamiroquai, Google it. I don't know how to spell it.
I can spell it for you. Jamiroquai is a fantastic fucking artist from the 90s.
What do you got?
Hmm?
Spell it for me.
Oh, Jamiroquai? Yeah. Jamaraqui. Jamiroquai. Yeah. He made a song called... All right, did you ever see Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
Do you know Rico? Huh?
Sounds like Uncle Rico.
Kind of, but do you remember the song where it's like... it's like dance, nothing else with me to do, just dance, that's Jamiroquai. And he also made a song called Virtual Insanity, which is also a really good song as well.
Dude, what the fuck is this band? I'm so confused.
But anywho, so then they go into this whole talk off at the Coliseum event. Essentially what it leads to is Dominic and Ray getting in these NASCAR stock cars and racing each other around the track with the NASCAR drivers in there. And the best thing that happened is Dominic says while racing, "Yo, where's the NAS at?
Where's the NAS at?"
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's such an idiot, but I like what they're doing here. I love Beth coming back because Beth is one of those people like Michelle McCool could.
Look at this picture of her.
Who?
Beth.
Yeah. She is. There's a reason Edge couldn't stop slapping her ass on live TV. It was really funny. Also, Edge is having a great time with all of this. Like, look at him taking selfies with everybody in the crowd. Like, Edge is having the time of his life.
Yeah, he's on his goodbye tour.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it all. I love Edge. I love what he's doing here. They're clearly trying to clean up the Judgment Day stuff with Edge, and I like the story.
I don't care if another Edge Finn match. It's been going on for so long.
I think that's why we're doing it at the Chamber, right?
Well, it's still doing the mixed tag.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to a 1-on-1 at Mania, because what else would it be? That's like a Hell in a Cell match, which I guess is cool.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but I do like Finn's music. Finn's new music is fucking dope. But the remix version when he came with the Kanye mask at Chamber, Chamber at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, he doesn't wear the stupid mask.
listen, I was okay with the mask. It's like Finn's just doing some weird stuff, but it's kind of working because Dominic's also stealing most of the spotlight because he keeps on screaming "Mommy." It's great.
I love that he calls her mom. It's just so fucking boring. it's just the right amount of stupid.
Yeah, and I cannot wait for Brood Edge versus Demon. That's a good call, Fretz. I still can't wait for when they start to build Ray versus Dominic, because that's happening. I mean, that's another crazy match for Mania. Ray versus Dominic.
I hope if Ray's not actually hurt.
I don't know. I don't think he is. I don't think he is at all. But anyway, you can save him for a while. Dominic's doing this dumb shit right there. Ray can come back from save, and then you get Ray versus Dominic at Mania.
Yeah,
it's perfect. It's great. All right, so here's what I bring. We haven't talked about AEW often because there's not much to talk about in AEW land. However, I do want to pose this to you, and I found this interesting fun fact. In 1982, Vince McMahon bought WWE from his father.
Okay.
Within 4 years' time, he had successfully done the first WrestleMania, which is in 84, 85, and he had successfully started to do Hulkamania. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that was in the first 4 years. In a couple of months from now, in October of 2023, will be 4 years since AEW Dynamite's first show.
Wow.
Yeah. So my question is, in comparison to that time frame, what is, and we're going to compare, we're going to do Tony Khan, what is Tony Khan's biggest accomplishment with AEW? If we forgot, Tony Khan was a guy who also called himself, very disrespectfully, essentially the longest tenured promoter in wrestling hours after Vince McMahon announced his retirement.
Oh, I think I'm going to do a prediction what's going to happen with the AEW by the next few months. I was going to say Nick Khan's going to buy it from Tony Khan and run it into the ground and just shut it all down.
No, my question to you is, what would be his accomplishment of the 4 years?
Definitely.
Or a big accomplishment of the four years?
The first All Out. When they shut out the arena.
That wasn't AEW. That was nothing. That was not AEW at all. That was them doing stuff with ROH, because ROH funded that.
You know what? I'll say Forbidden Door then.
Okay.
It's a concept. I mean, the show itself, I didn't watch the show itself, but I think the show itself was like okay. Mm-hmm. But the concept and the fact that they made the impossible happen, right? When they said, like, not what can never be done, but it's something people have speculated and wanted for so long, And here's what happened.
Here's what I feel about that is that it wasn't, it was something that hadn't been done on that scale. Because if you remember, Ring of Honor had their War of the Worlds series for a long time with New Japan.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They didn't have a grand. They didn't have a grand scale like the United Center.
Yeah.
Like in Chicago. So I do agree with that. Yeah. So I was wondering
I'd probably say Forbidden Door. I think that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I like Tony Khan. I don't know why. Just look at him. That smile.
He's a lovable.
He's annoyed at the fuck he's doing.
He's a lovable idiot. Yeah. Yeah. He's a lovable. You know. He's a bro. He's essentially a lovable bro.
They have Billy Madison run a wrestling company.
Yeah, I think Forbidden Door for him, I think about it, AEW has, number one, I think the biggest accomplishment is just lasting for
staying relevant.
Yeah, sure. I think lasting is a big thing because WWE ramped up a lot after AEW debuted.
Yeah.
You know, it took a while for WWE to kind of like, all right, what are we going to do with this? And they were like, oh, okay, we got it now.
You know, they had a lot of momentum. They were the place to be.
They did.
You know, they got Moxley. It was huge. I was gonna, another one.
That was their first purse. That was the first get.
Yeah. I'd say Moxley debuting and DDTing Kenny on the poker chip.
Yeah.
Huge, huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
Huge moment.
I think also they were, I think they're very innovative. I think it's one of their bigger accomplishments. They're innovative with the arenas that they choose, especially when they did the tennis court.
You mean Chicago 13 times in a year?
No, I'm talking about when they go to Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's the only one that was available. Vince is like, no one's going to go here.
I think that was a big deal for them as well. And I think one of their bigger accomplishments is that they talk about, even though I can say a lot about Tony, I think they're very innovative in how they handle talent, especially talent that comes out of line, minus CM Punk. They're very transparent with what happens to them.
Yeah.
Which WWE is not at all. They're very like close over. Tony Khan's like, well, no, this happened. Here's what's going to happen. Like, look at Sammy Guevara. We're like, yep, Sammy fucked up. He's suspended. We're going to bring him to sensitivity training, and he has to complete it or else he can't come back. Great. Awesome.
Jeff Hardy, we have something.
Yeah.
Kenny and the Bucks were held under wraps with CM Punk, but yeah, like with the exception of that, because that's a little different. But yeah, I guess, I mean, he has a reputation backstage for being like, you know,
he's very hands-on.
Spends a lot of money on catering. You know, he spends a lot of money on the boys. He's trying to cater to the boys, which makes sense. He's trying to bring people there. Like, you know, like WWE has that clause in the contract where if you're injured, you got to bring that, you got the contracts on pretty much frozen.
Yeah, because you got to finish out your time.
It's like they're still paid. But that they miss a year from a torn hamstring.
You got to
make up a year back. Tony Khan doesn't have that. So, like CM Punk, if he comes back, it's a new contract.
Yeah.
Not frozen. Like, same with Kenny Omega and his suspension when he was injured. It's like that. He needs to make a few tweaks on the business end.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes he's a little too lean on his talent. Like I don't know what Alistair's like. I need time away for like anxiety, like mental health or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, bro, like, I need you on fucking TV. What am I paying you for?
Yeah,
like, I get that you need time off, but it's like, how much fucking time off do you need? You're barely on TV.
Yeah, or like use your money, which you have almost an unlimited amount of due to your family. Use that money, hire some mental health professionals. They wanted to be really progressive with like catering to wrestlers. Hire therapists for them.
I feel like they have those.
I honestly don't know. It's not something they've really talked about, which is, if I was Tony Khan, if I did have that, that's something I'd highlight.
It wouldn't surprise me if they had, like, fucking puppy lounge every single arena. Therapy dogs.
Dude, like, that'd be so dope.
Yeah, but it's fucking a waste of money. Like,
well, not a waste.
You know what Tony Khan's biggest failure is? Not making money.
That is the biggest. Well, I said as big as a comp, so I wasn't going to talk about this failure.
Yeah, well, I mean, makes money, but you can't turn a profit. I mean, I know it takes 4 to 5 years for a company to actually start making money and turn a profit. Fact.
Yeah.
But he runs a good product, but not good at making money.
Yeah. So I'd be interested to see if they have some sort of mental health or partnering with some sort of mental health agency to help out their talent in particular when things get tough, because it does get tough on the road for them a lot of the time too. But we'll see.
Chose, man. I mean, honestly, sometimes you gotta be like, listen, get the fuck over it.
Well, you can't just say that as get the fuck over. Not with people who have like real mental health issues.
Business, man. It's like it's the business, right? It's just, you still gotta make money. Otherwise, the business.
Yeah, businesses are tough. But think about if they have mental health professionals with some of our talent, like Scott Hall.
Like if they're going through a crisis, like a mental break. Yeah, that's one thing. But it's just like, I'm tired, I need time off. It's like, bro, you're on a fucking contract.
Tired and need time off. Like, physically tired is different from mentally tired or mentally exhausted. Those are different things. And it affects the body differently. It does affect the situation. It does depend on the situation. And there's
a lot I don't know. And I'm going to sound like a dick. Like, you know, I get it. But, like, at the end of the day, this is a wrestling business that needs to make money and turn a profit for a TV program that I pay you a lot of money to be a character on. Mm-hmm. If you're just not going to be there, like, you shouldn't be in the business then. If you can't handle it, you can't handle it. Get the fuck out. Go do something else.
Yeah, again, it's a situation-by-situation basis, and I don't know what Aleister's situation is.
Yeah.
Or Malachi, because I just called him Aleister, but whatever Malachi's situation is. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Tony Khan still has work to do with AEW, I think. Speaking of which, I want to talk about AEW's champion, MJF. Who at this point, and I'm going to use NJF's word here, kind of mid right now. Like, what do you think of his, essentially his inaugural run as AEW champion?
I haven't heard a goddamn thing about it.
That's very scary.
Even though I don't watch AEW, like, at all anymore, since CM Punk left, I just haven't been interested in AEW. I would still hear things here and there about something that's going on. And I listen to wrestling podcasts that cover AEW. Because Mat Men cover AEW more than WWE. And I still can't tell you what the hell is going on. I know Darby Allin and Samoa Joe have flip-flopped the title of the TNT Championship. That's about it.
Which Samoa Joe just won again last week.
So, I haven't heard much about anything about MJF. I haven't heard anything about his promos. I don't know who he's feuding with. You know.
That's very concerning.
I heard a few things here about Ricky Starks. I haven't heard about him in a few weeks. That's because WWE has been really, really hot.
That's also true as well.
But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think MJF is a champion. From someone who doesn't watch it, has been very disappointing, which you can take that for what it is. But the fact that I haven't heard anything about it and there's no buzz around him, I think kind of speaks for itself. Now, if you watch it and you say, here's what happened, you know, I could probably be like, okay. Mm-hmm. Why aren't I hearing about that?
Yeah, you hear about a lot of stuff outside of MJF. Taekwon in our chat is lying.
I did know that. MJF is feuding with Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson, I did know that.
Which is fine, and I think it's going to be a good barometer to see what MJF can actually do in a ring.
Yeah, but I know who's going to win that match. Like, Bryan Danielson hasn't won a match in AEW. Like, Bryan Danielson in AEW has been a flop. He isn't. What's he done?
Yeah, who knows? According to Fretzelmania here, he says MJF cuts promos, that's it. And the guy's my favorite. We're building a match with Danielson, that's it. But, like, that's great to accentuate the fact that MJF is cutting promos. That's fine. That's cool. It's what he's good at. But you also have to wrestle. Like, Miz cuts good promos. That's what The Miz is good at. But The Miz will still get in the ring.
Yeah. Well, MJF tells good stories in the ring. He's not a great wrestler. Tells really good stories, though.
That's true. And that's important.
He's very important. He doesn't need that flippy shit. You know what I mean?
Well, that's fine. You could be a mat-based wrestler.
Yeah.
You know.
It's really refreshing in that fucking company where everyone flip-flops.
Yeah, but get in the ring. Get in the ring and wrestle.
Like, I guess it's also heat, though, right? They got paid.
That's true.
Like, does it make sense for MJF's character to be a fighting champion? No.
Probably not.
but how many times can you hire W. Morrissey or fucking Brian Cage to take out your competition before you fight the guy? Did that with Jericho. Did that with Punk. Now doing it again with Brian. Okay, what else you got?
Yeah.
It's like, for fuck's sake, write me another story.
Seriously, I'm tired of your heavies.
Yeah.
Tired of having
they call him Big Bill now, not W. Morris. They call him Big Bill.
Right? It's Big Bill.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. It's a great
Big Bill.
It's a great name that they call. I think they do call him Big Bill, which is excellent.
That just reminds me of Schoolhouse Rock. Yeah, they call me a Bill, and I'm sitting here.
Mr. Bill, and I'm a Big Bill.
I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Cutting Medicare and Social Security for your grandma and grandpa.
MJF sending out Bebop and Rocksteady. That's fucked up. Oh my God, Big Bob, aka Helga's daddy, also a great reference.
Big Bob Pataki.
Big Bob Pataki.
Yeah, I don't know how fucking Taquan is so young but knows all of these old school references.
You are an old soul, Taquan. I am
very impressed. People say I'm an old soul.
No, you're like, not.
Now, dude, I got people in the office like, "How do you know movies from the '80s?" I'm like, I
watch because you like movies.
Like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, "How do you know this song?" I'm like, "Cause I know music. Like, I despise pop music. You know, I know that Flower song's cool, but you know, Def Leppard's better." Like.
Oh,
I
my
song?
Oh my God. It's like every Independent Girls theme song.
You know, it's better than Meghan Trainor, right? I can't buy my Gucci.
Listen, it's all about that bass, no bass, no trouble. It's all about that bass. Oh my God.
She was fat back then. She had that fat ass. Now she's in shape and really.
Yes. Speaking of in shape, it's totally about music. We're going to go off before we talk about NXT Vengeance Day, which was or actually it was good for what it was worth. I'll say that. But did you see the Adele at the Grammys?
With The Rock?
Yeah.
I did see that. I was like, wow, this was so scripted. But I was like, oh, that's nice.
Fucking Trevor. I was like, yeah, so I heard you're a big fan of Dwayne Johnson. Well, he's not here, but I have this guy, The Rock.
Clever Trevor.
Oh my
also,
God.
Also, leave Beyonce alone and Harry Styles. For fuck's sake, everybody.
What did Beyonce do?
Nothing. Nothing.
What did Harry Styles do that was wrong?
So Beyonce, Harry Styles won a Grammy, first of all. Okay. That's what he did, what was wrong. So
he had good. His music is actually pretty. I've listened to it. It's actually pretty catchy. He makes good music.
I don't think I'm with Harry Styles, but I just know he's the biggest artist in the world right now. But Beyonce,
correct.
So Beyonce broke a record for the amount.
Most Grammy wins. Yeah,
but she's only won like the big four, like you know, best song, best album, whatever.
Oh,
like,
boo! Fucking
like,
who?
Like once or twice.
She won the Grammys that mattered.
She didn't win the Grammys that mad. That's what they're saying.
Oh, she's never won the Big Four?
She's won one.
Okay.
But, like, so they're saying, she wins all the awards, but it's still, like, racist because she's never won the big one. And they're mad at Harry Styles for winning the big one.
Harry Styles was a better artist last year. Beyonce didn't come out with anything.
That's why, yeah. I was like, leave everybody the fuck alone.
And besides,
like,
Beyonce
breaks the record and you're still mad? Like,
like Beyonce's the winningest artist in Grammy history. Like, that's something to be happy about. Who cares?
It's fucking Beyonce.
Yeah.
And wait until she gets mad at Ticketmaster. She's touring next year.
Yeah, yeah.
This year.
You think Taylor Swift threw a fit? Oh, you wait.
Beyonce fans, I don't know if Taylor fans are mad, but Beyonce fans are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Jasmine's listening to Alien Superstar like every car ride. I want to rip my ears off my face.
My God. There's not a fandom I hate more than the Beehive. It's what they call themselves, by the way.
Do you know Alien Superstar?
No, I don't want to.
Dude, listen to the song.
I don't want to.
So here's how she describes it. She's like, it's a song for black women. I'm like, okay, that's fine. She's like, I can see black women being empowered and loving that shit, but everyone else is just like, I like Beyonce. She's a great artist, but this song is just fucking awful. Bad bitch on the bar. Alien Superstar. That's just how it goes.
Oh, whatever. I will never probably listen to it at all. Anyway, let's go back.
It's worth it.
All right, maybe. All right, let's go back to NXT. NXT Vengeance Day was actually pretty cool. I know you didn't watch it, Will.
I saw a few highlights. So I saw Carmelo Hayes come out at the end, which was just like, that's cool.
I love the setup. It was very kind of bare bones, but still like a massive fucking screen.
It was good to see them in a big.
It was good. It was good.
In a big arena again.
It was good to see them. They weren't sold out. You can clearly tell they weren't sold out. But it was good to see them.
Who cares?
But it was good to see them with an arena with a fan base that was also very rowdy. Like that crowd helped out a lot.
Yeah. Where was it?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hmm.
And they had an intro with Charlotte Flair because Charlotte and Charlotte, you know, which is also probably like, how come Charlotte hasn't had a WrestleMania? Probably because no one wants to go there, but they probably don't have the infrastructure for it.
Where would they play? Like, where would they perform? Like, what's
the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Hornets also have their best bowler.
What else is there to do?
That's the issue. That's the big issue.
Even with Detroit, it's like, okay, I'm sure there's like a car museum there somewhere.
Oh yeah,
you can go see Poverty if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, you can go find water in Detroit. You know,
I'm sure Flint is nearby.
Yeah, I think it's north. Don't quote me on that. But no, Vengeance Day was good. Carmelo Hayes and Apollo Crews, great. 2 out of 3 falls. That tag match was great because apparently Andre Chase, aka Harlem Bravado, is from Carolina. So his family was in attendance, and there was a giant Chase U section. I will say, Chase U is probably my favorite gimmick in NXT right now.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad he has one. I do like section, the Cesaro section, the Baddies Club, and now the Chase U section. Pretty cool.
Because everybody wears the Chase U shirt, and they're all like in one section.
Dude,
the crowd. It's
like they need like the Weasley sweaters.
They do. Well, no, but it's just shirts. But he does wear like kind of a sweater vest idea. Which is great, but like one of his signature moments in his match is like he's stomping the guy on the ground. He's like, "Give me a C," and the crowd yells C, and so the entire arena did it with him.
That's pretty cool.
He goes, "What does it spell?" And everybody yells, "Chase you."
That's pretty cool. I'll give him that. That's pretty cool. I like that.
He's doing so much better when we first saw him in the Indies as Harlem Bravado, and I hated him with a burning passion. I'll give him a pass. That's great. The title match is great. New Day dropped to Gallus.
Yeah, it's only Triple H is like, it's WrestleMania. So he's got to be.
Yeah. Stop playing around, guys. You might even use those again. Who knows? Dijak broke his finger.
I did see that. That looked like it hurt.
Yeah, he broke it in the middle of the match and still had to finish the match. So there's that. Yeah, no, it was good. My only thing is that I'm so glad Carmelo is finally going after Bron Breakker, because Bron Breakker is so fucking boring. There's nothing about him that I enjoy.
Yeah, there's been no buzz around him either. And there was for a while, and he just kind of fell off the map.
He has no personality.
Which is funny, because he's a Steiner.
Yeah, but he's like, I want to be Brick. I want to make my name off of a Steiner. I'm like, no, you're a Steiner for a reason. Use that. Like, I get it. You want to be yourself, but you're still a Steiner. Like, you do all the Steiner stuff. You might as well be it. It was really funny, because Grayson Waller came out for the cage match wearing chainmail on his head.
That's really funny. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But yeah, there's nothing great about him. The best character in NXT is Carmelo Hayes. Him and Trick Williams are fantastic.
I still love the name Trick.
I know. And they better come up together. He's not coming up right now because Triple H is going to hold him back.
What happened with Toxic Attraction? They just broke up.
They just broke up on TV officially.
NXT.
Yeah, well, obviously, they were going for a while. They did a triple threat with Roxanne Perez, who also had a great Rumble appearance.
She's so cute.
She's, like, only 21, and she's, like, 5 feet tall.
Yeah, she's like AJ Lee when she first debuted. It's like, oh, is this one? Give her a hug and, like, pinch her cheeks. Like, it's so cute. And then give her this little peck on the nose.
Yeah, and so obviously it was a triple threat, and Roxanne won because they started infighting. They went on Ding Dong. They did Ding Dong Hello with Bayley, who apparently might have broken her arm during the cage match.
That's not good.
She was in a sling. I was like, oh, that's not fun. And then they pretty much did JC Jane turned on Gigi. They essentially kind of recreated the barbershop moment. And she threw Gigi Dolin through Bailey's door.
The door.
Which didn't break all the way. So it was kind of a rough-looking spot. But I'm fine with it. You need to, without Mandy, you need to tear up Toxic Attraction. And which is a shame because Mandy was on a great run. But Mandy's making a lot of money right now. Trust me.
Oh, she's doing just fine.
Yeah.
She's not missing shit.
Yeah, she is doing just fine. But she's
I can take pictures of my butthole, or yeah. I can fall on my head for a living.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my butthole. So
I'd probably also go with my butthole.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, NXT's revving up for Stand and Deliver, which I believe will be Bron Breakker's last match, and they're going to probably call him up prematurely because he's not ready because he has no personality. And Carmelo Hayes is going to run NXT for at least the next year, which I'm more than okay with.
Nothing like a good old post-Mania call-up.
Yeah, he's going to, because, like, honestly, without the title, Bron Breakker has nothing to do in NXT. Which is scary, because I think he might get lost in the sauce. Again, like I said, he has no personality.
Yeah, who do you feud with? Like, Dolph Ziggler?
I mean, usually that's what happens. I mean, he already feuded with Dolph already. He did it last year when Dolph beat him for the NXT championship.
Well, do you think Austin Theory walks out of the chamber with the U.S. title? He'd go after, like, Austin. I can see him and Austin Theory having a good feud.
Yeah. I mean, also, we didn't talk about him, but I love this Austin Theory. He is in a very Hollywood Rock kind of moment.
He is. That car was really nice.
Oh, yeah, the rented Lambo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's definitely, he's definitely Hollywood Rock at the moment. But it's also, this is the heel that we saw in Evolve. I was like, finally, they let him be. Yeah. They let him be himself. Granted, he was a great comedy act for a while, getting his ass beat and being a part of the way.
I was not like it at first, but he really grew me as a comedy act.
Yeah, but he's such a pure asshole. It's so good. It's so good. I don't think he loses. I want to see him get a mania match.
Seth.
Seth's in it. I forgot. Seth Priest, Montez. Tez qualified this week. I forgot who else. I don't know if it's
Theory. Obviously, there's two more.
I don't know if they've totally solidified. Let me do a quick check on WWE's website real quick.
I hope he keeps it. But, you know, to Fred's point, I think he goes up against Cena and loses. Him and Cena would be a great match.
Okay, so the card's already set. So it's Seth, Theory, Priest, Johnny Gargano, that's Montez, right. And Jonah. No, it's not his real name. It's not Jonah. Bronson Reed. Yeah, my thick boy.
Yeah. I forgot that, to came back too.
Yeah, that's going to be an actual fun match.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
There's a lot of good workers in this match. Like, I'm just waiting for Montez's, like, Montez is going to touch the top of the chamber when he hits a frog splash.
He's going to hit his head.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah, it's going to be great, but we'll talk about Elimination Chamber next week. But that is essentially the end of our show. A little over an hour for us, actually.
Good. That's just short.
Yeah, pretty good. So, you want to know who next week's guest is? So we are going to do Elimination Chamber next week, and we're not going to do it alone, Will. So I hope you're ready to smile because...
Please, I don't know who... Sam Smiley?
Yes.
Hell yeah, my girl. I haven't seen her in a long time. This New Orleans. Yes.
Smiley is going to be coming in, not coming in, but she's going to be live with us straight from Chicago. And I think her quote was, I wanted to get on during Black History Month to give Will shit. So I was like,
perfect. I do.
I was like, perfect.
I have no problem with Black History Month. I'm sorry it's February. Sometimes you get 29 days. What can I say?
Yeah, sure. It was a deliberate thing on purpose. I forgot the history of when it got named there. But yeah, no, Smiley's.
Does that sound like Martin Luther King?
No, it does not. I have to look it up again, but I forgot. But Smiley is coming, so we're going to reminisce, have a great time. It'll be the day before your birthday, so that's my birthday gift to you.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Yeah.
We're in 28 next week.
Yeah, so, yeah, Smiley's going to be around for us, and we can't wait to have her. And with that being said, let's go to post. No, not Norman Smiley, Taekwon Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Kings of the Rings podcast episode number 3. It would be great. Episode number 327, Pull Back the Curtain. I've been your host, King Ricky Rose. You can formerly find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets. BIGZ, Ambassador Biggs. Don't try to follow me at all because I'm actually really not there. I am pretty ghost. I'll find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets. Like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews. It really helps your boys out, helping us get the word out there. So please like, share it, leave reviews, leave comments, do all that fun stuff that you do for all the other people that you follow on social media. We deserve that love too. If you're listening to us on audio, make sure you listen to us on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast, and follow Wrestle Addict Radio socials at addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. Next week, we're going to preview Elimination Chamber with our good old friend, Smiley from Chicago, but we met her in New Orleans and she used to live in Florida. It's a lot of stuff going on, but we're all going to recap it next week. But until then, Will Tarashock, sorry.
We got so much to catch up on. I thought she was still in Florida, so I'm some friend I am.
She moved back to Chicago.
Oh, good for her. Well, if you want to be my friend, my name is Will Tarashock. T is from Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. NFL is paid. It is set up. It took a little while. It kind of sucks balls sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
But, yeah. Talking with Tarashock podcast is going great. Tomorrow, I'm speaking to a military veteran who has done a lot.
That should be fun.
A lot of great work. He started a podcast, but he pretty much helps veterans, like, you know, not kill themselves. So,
oh, okay.
It's honestly, dude, veterans with podcasts is very, very helpful for other veterans. I've heard that from multiple people. So I'm very excited to pick his brain. He's also a Boston native. He's from my neck of the woods.
Oh, God. So, it's going to be a lot of Boston accent going out.
Yeah, he was introduced to me from another guy who's been podcasting since 2005. Was on the podcast last year.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. So shout out to Keith Hayes from Hoopazoo to introduce me to Trevor. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That releases on February, last day.
That's February 28th was the last day.
22nd.
22nd.
Okay. Last Wednesday in February. So 22nd. Yeah, it's 22nd.
All right, gotcha. All right, so when we come back next week, folks, it's the Elimination Chamber preview show featuring CM Smiley, and it's going to be a great time. So until then, folks, goodbye. Good night. We'll see you on the post show if you're following us live. And fuck you, Slack. He gets eliminated first.